And to Mark, the 16th chapter, very familiar scripture, starting in verse number 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Can't tell you how many people who have said, well, baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but what do you do with scripture like this? But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I don't know how you could get around that. Because these are the signs, this is the evidence of those who believe. Amen. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I've talked about this over the years. We're talking about not snakes. We're talking about power over the enemy. And God watches over us, those things that we eat, we drink. You know, everyone has this fear of cancer. A few years ago, you're not supposed to eat eggs, and yesterday I heard a report that says everyone should have an egg every day, you know? I love God's packaging. You know what I'm saying? Eggs and bananas and apples. I mean, who can keep things fresh like God can keep things fresh? Amen? Glory to God. So God said that there's going to be signs, and there obviously is going to be power to those who believe. Those who don't, they believe it's all expired 2,000 years ago, but God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And then Acts chapter 1, and a verse that most of us can quote, verse number 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, this power is good for so many things. The resist temptation. They give us an enthusiasm for God. But the main thing is that you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God for the power.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God tonight, that there truly would be an anointing upon it. We want to hear from heaven.
Amen.
We want to be encouraged by the positive things that you say and do. We'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. A few weeks ago when Brother Littles was here, he mentioned that he was at his brother's house and he had a new salt shaker. And it was so incredible because all you had to do is press a button and it would grind the salt, the coarse salt. And it had a light that would shine down on your food. And I thought, I've got to get one of those, you know? So my wife and I went out, and they have a salt and a pepper grinder that is rechargeable. and you know, you can just push it, and it grinds salt, and you can see it falling on. I'm looking for things to salt these days, you know? I'm wishing we had some more snow, you know. Glory to God. I said to Brother Littles, I said, please don't preach about utensils in the kitchen anymore because I can't afford to hear those things. I don't need any more of those. But I thought tonight, you know how you get hungry into service many times, you know. That happens to me from time to time, and I even talked a little bit about it this morning. And so I thought, you know, what I'll do is I'll bring a toaster, and in the middle of the preaching, if somebody, you know, I don't eat a lot of carbs, but then when I do eat carbs, I like whole wheat bread, you know? And so I put the whole wheat bread in, generally I like two, and then I have to set the selection for how dark it's going to be, you know, and there's even special buttons on this one. I still don't know how to operate it fully. But then all you do is push the lever down, and just in a few minutes, it's going to pop up, and we're going to have toast, folks. Amen. Just wait. It'll happen, you know. I read some of the manual, and I'm doing exactly what it says I should do. And I believe that I'm going to have toast. I believe it. I believe it's going to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd love to share some of my toast with all of you. I brought more bread in case somebody else is hungry. So, amen. Glory to God. I'm thinking I did something wrong. Is it me? Did I not push it down properly? Do I not have the setting on? I'll make it a little darker and see what happens. Just, I don't know. I'm getting frustrated now. The one true church, according to Jesus, shall be identified by signs that follow. Speaking in a language that they never learned, power over the enemy of our soul, and seeing people healed by laying on of our hands. Not just the ministry, but anybody who has the Holy Ghost. It happened at the beginning of the church, and it should be even more prevalent today. But I'm afraid there are less miracles, less signs today than there were 2,000 years ago. Not because God isn't as committed to the church, but perhaps it's because the church isn't as committed to God. Now, we started a process of a journey about a month ago. About this time last year, Brother George called me. He was scheduled to come and preach. He's from Iowa, and he said God had told him that he was going to bring revival to this church, but Brother Schumacher, he also said that you weren't ready yet. And there had to be some preparation, and I believe with all of my heart that we're in that process of preparation. Now, Brother Portman asked that those who had a testimony of what happened on their journey of prayer, scripture, and fasting, that if they had a testimony, and we have a few, and I just want to take the time. Most of them are anonymous, and so I'm not sure even who they are. So here's one. To be honest, I didn't dedicate myself as much as I would have liked to, but kept feeling God tugging at me throughout all of my distractions. I had two specific prayers, what I saw as a delayed answer, it said that I got a victory over two things in my life. I must decrease and he must increase. Yes, now I get up a half an hour early to prepare to pray and worship. I want to keep going. Another. Have a deeper commitment. The routine is now anticipation of time with him in prayer. I can't wait to be in prayer. Prayer time has a deeper intensity. I've been able to share Jesus with non-believers, spoke guidance according to his word with a family member. I didn't meet my target goal, so I wanted to keep going because I don't want to fail him. I want doors to be open, chains to be broken. I personally want to be changed. Some resistance to some fleshly temptations. Make some continuous improvements. Implementing the tools, i.e. prayer, scripture, fasting with praise, thanksgiving included. I have seen walls torn down and the workplace is open now to other people. A challenging employee looking at me in a different light. Very abrasive and self-serving, but now he has changed. Glory to God. Amen. More aware of that still small voice. Glory to God. Two visitors came. Go to heaven, keep seeking Jesus. Amen. I am feeling more empowered and more in touch with God. The Lord opened a door for a job and has manifested a healing in my hearing. I want to continue on a personal journey with God and grow and develop my relationship with Him. I believe every one of us have felt that way. I'm getting music through this. Is there a reason for that? Glory to God. I believe in fasting. I believe in prayer. But what I believe is that we should have schedules. I have determined that I'm not just going to fast for certain situations, but every week there's going to be a day that I dedicate to God for fasting. Every day I'm going to have a time where I can read His Word. Every day I have to have a time where I set aside to pray, not just on the run, but dedicate some time to it. Amen. Some churches have just accepted less from God. I don't want to be a church that accepts less from God because they don't want to give more to God in the way of commitment like the early church did. If we want the same power, then we have to be the same church that was birthed in an upper room. If we're going to get all of what God has for us, then we have to give all of what we are to God. There isn't going to be any shortcuts. There isn't going to be an easier way. There wasn't for the early church. There won't be for us. We need to become tenacious about our requests towards God. He's waiting to see how resolute we are about what we want. Amen. God, would you just take... No, no. Got to get serious. Got to get aggressive about what we want from God, and I believe that God will take care of us. Would you turn to 2 Kings, the 20th chapter? Second Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. In those days Hezekiah, sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hezekiah got so tenacious about God. You know I have been faithful. You know that I've been righteous. You know that I've held on to the truth. That not only did God heal him, but he saved the city. Could we get to the place where we're so desperate for a healing, for a deliverance, that God would say, not only am I going to give you the deliverance, not only am I going to give you the healing, but I'm going to save your neighborhood. I'm going to save your city. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know the story in Mark, the 9th chapter, how, you know, God gives his disciples all this power in order to heal and deliver and to cast out. And one man comes with his son, and he's got a devil, and they try to do it, and it doesn't work. And they're so upset because they can't do what Jesus said they could do. Ever get to that place? Jesus says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There are certain types of situations in our lives that are labeled this kind. There are certain situations that just don't happen because you walk into the house of God. These situations cannot be affected by our gymnastics, our screaming in people's ears, or shaking their heads, or dumping a whole bottle of oil upon them. I know we go through the gymnastics and even the routine of what the Bible says, and then just blame our lack of power on, well, you just don't have enough faith. We need to reach an honest place to say, God, why didn't we see the miracle? Amen. We pulled the trigger, but nothing happened. Amen. Glory to God. If you go to the trap range, at every position on the trap range, they have a long fiberglass plastic pole about this long for everybody. And for the average person, you wouldn't know what that is. But there's a lot of guys who reload their shotgun shells and they put the primer in and they put the wad in, but for some reason, they forgot to put the powder in. So there's enough pressure with the primer that will take the shells out about halfway of the barrel, and then it's just stuck there. And so they have to get this ramming tube to clear this thing, otherwise the next shot's going to blow up in their face. We pull the trigger. We even prime the service. But do we have the powder in the chamber in order to see all of what God wants to do for us? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Matthew 10, we see the scripture where God gives all of the power to his disciples against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. The question isn't, do you have the power? The question is the same as the disciples, why didn't it work? There are power levels in God. There are dimensions and heights in God that must be obtained for us to be able to handle the power and see the miracles. There are not gifts from God only in the aspect of being available to us. They must be discipled or disciplined for. If we're not disciplined enough, God will not give us the power. Just because we show up, just because we're faithful, doesn't mean that we have the power. God is too smart to give out power to people who will abuse it. Hallelujah. Put on a show because of it. Are we too immature to handle the responsibility of the power that God wants to give us? God looks for the commitment before he distributes the power. He's looking for the consecration that we have in our life before he gives us the power that we're so longing for. Half-hearted church who live at the edge of the commitment just don't tap into the full power of God. And that frustrates today's believer as it did in the disciples. Nothing says commitment like prayer and fasting. Amen. I'm overwhelmed on Saturday mornings at the numbers of people that are here praying. Both are enemies of the flesh are prayer and fasting. Amen. Our flesh loves to worship because there's an immediate response from God. Right. But when it comes to prayer, we don't get an immediate response. Right. When it comes to fasting, sometimes, you know, it takes a while. If you've ever fasted for any length of time, those first couple of days, difficult. After that, there's a dying of the flesh, and it seems like it's not important anymore. Some of you that have gone on extended fast, when you end it, you almost feel condemnation, like, oh, I shouldn't be eating, because you're in a euphoria of God's grace and God's Spirit. Hallelujah. The flesh doesn't want to push our arms up to heaven or kneel at an altar. And the flesh doesn't want to push our plates away. The flesh doesn't want to do that. We have to somehow rule our flesh. Paul said it makes a great slave, but it makes a terrible master. But when the saints worship and pray in spite of their flesh, when we inform the flesh there will be no eating today, the angel hits the 220 breaker in heaven and the power begins to flow to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I believe in prayer, supplication, making my requests known to God. Now add fasting, and the Goliaths of this world will start to run. I don't know what's wrong with this thing. It's going to pop up, folks. You see, if we're going to do the job, we have to be properly equipped. Without it, we become frustrated and wonder, what is wrong with us? I prayed, I've worshiped, nothing is happening. What's wrong with me? There's got to be everybody in here who said, what is it? What's wrong with me, God? What am I not doing? What is right here? Prayer and fasting makes us a receptacle for high voltage from God. When you start to pray on a regular basis and then you decide you're going to withdraw yourself from food for a while, it's like the power of God, the presence of God, you have an insight. There's a sensitivity that you have to God that you would not have in any other way. Amen. I've got the instructions. I'm doing it exactly the way you said I should, but it's not happening the way you said it should. Would you turn to the fasting chapter, Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Can you imagine, by fasting, it releases us from temptations and things that we need to be delivered from? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. All because of fasting. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noon light. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose water shall fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old ways places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, we're talking about the day of rest, we're talking about Sundays, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, the benefits. How serious are we about reaching the world? How determined are we to see the signs that follow them that believe? That's really the question. How serious are we? We are the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us if we are properly equipped. You know, glory to God. You can have the most powerful chainsaw, but there isn't any gas in it, it's not going to do much for you. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that there is no shortage of power in heaven. We know that God delights by showing himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards him. God doesn't change his nature, and he doesn't change his character ever. But if certain conditions are met, God may change his intentions. Jonah has a divine edict from God to walk into Nineveh and say, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God was going to turn that place into an ashtray because of their wickedness. I just read yesterday where Paul said of the coppersmith, he has done me wrong. The Lord reward you according to your works. There are rewards, good and bad, based on what we are doing. God was going to destroy Nineveh, and that was just fine with the preacher. Now, there's something wrong with a preacher who thinks it's just fine that people are destroyed. Would you turn to Jonah, the third chapter, please? Starting in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, these are not believing people, but you know, you need a preacher to tell you what the truth is. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king, an unbeliever. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Or change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Oh, glory to God. Listen, folks, if a bunch of sinners can just hear the word of God and get to the place where they decide, not only am I not going to eat, but I'm not going to drink, not only me, but all of my family, not only me and my family, but all of our livestock. God's saying, you must be serious about this whole thing. So the people of Nineveh believe God. How do you believe God unless you hear? You know? We live in a generation that doesn't want to hear the anointed preaching of God's word, just doesn't. But someone who will confirm what the flesh wants to do. There's all kinds of preachers who will confirm what people want to do. I was in a restaurant today, and a whole group of people, probably 20 people, who walked in who just came from church. It looked like they came off the basketball court. I mean, these were old people like me. Something wrong. You know, when you don't have a respect for the house of God any longer. Hallelujah. But here were some people who knew they heard from God, and their conclusion was in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now, if sinners recognize the value of fasting and prayer, how much more the saints of God recognize the value of fasting and prayer. They're serious. They're absolutely serious. It said the people proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Not many people who want to humble themselves before God. He declared that neither man nor animal eat or drink water, and he proclaimed that everyone cry mightily unto God and cease from evil. The word cry here means to address by name. You'll notice that it started with the people proclaiming a fast, and soon everyone was involved in saving their city. I know there's this conception of the ministry needs to save the city. The Bible study teachers need to save the city. But here's an evil king who laid aside his robe, sat on ashes, and he wanted to save the city. Glory to God. Amen. What if everyone here was involved to save the city? Glory to God. This thing still isn't working. They knew they couldn't change the character of God. They couldn't change God's idea of judgment, you see. But they said, who can tell if God will turn and repent or change his intentions? Verse 10 said, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented or changed his intention of the evil that he had said and he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, some people have the wrong conception that they can fast and pray to God, but they have no intentions of changing their lifestyle. Why fast at all? Amen. If it's not going to do something to me, if it's not going to promote a closer walk with God, don't bother. Don't bother. If you're not going to pray while you're fasting, it's not going to work, you see. Hallelujah. Amen. How can we ask God to change his mind if we haven't changed our mind? Amen. Glory to God. The only nincompoop in this story is the backslidden preacher. Everybody else has got it right. They heard from God. But here's a man who's been hearing from God and has an edict from God in order to talk to people, but he's just happy to go and tell them you're going to be destroyed. Here all of the people and the king repent, and God's stays his wrath, and Jonah is bent out of shape because God didn't kill him. We are in a saving business, not a condemning business. Amen. God, you made me look like a fool by changing your mind. I said the words you gave me, and then it didn't come true. What about my new book, Jonah After the Ashes? You know what the problem was? God spared someone that Jonah didn't love. Jonah was furious at God's mercy. Now listen to me. We can get to the place where a backslider comes in here and somebody gets angry. The problem is you have a lack of love. When people are looking for judgment, it is many times because of lack of love, and that's why we extend mercy to our children, but we demand judgment on other people. Because we love our family, we love our children, and we want God's mercy to be extended to them, but when we don't love people, get them, God. What God saw in Nineveh was sincerity, not ceremony. Hallelujah. We can go through the form of godliness. We can have our regular Pentecostal show without some sincerity. Amen. We preach the word of the prophet. The word of the prophet Joel all the time. Words that were recorded in Acts 2 and 17. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we use that as a Pentecostal phrase because we want God to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But what happened before God proclaimed that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh? Amen. It's just not one of those Pentecostal jargons that we can use and say, all right, God, pour it out on us. Because there has to be some prerequisites. Amen. Would you turn to Joel, the second chapter? And verse number 12. Page 987. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rent your heart and not your garments. See, what they used to do is they would make a display that I'm serious about this and rip their garments. And God's saying, hold on, don't rip the garment. Rip your heart. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Well, we are the people of the name. Amen. We're the people that have signs that follow. And yet somebody could say, well, where are the signs? Where is the deliverance? You know, when visitors come here, they come here expecting something greater than what they've experienced in their denominational church. Hallelujah. In verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass when, after all of what we read here, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days. I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. On and on. Prerequisite, getting closer to God. Amen. Ripping the heart. Fasting, praying, and let God do what he does best. Amen. What preceded that great outpouring? It was prayer and fasting. What do you think they were doing in the upper room for 10 days before there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? You know, that's why we see great things happening after 5 days of camp, revival, whenever we spend time committed to God, all of a sudden things start to happen. God is just waiting. God is just waiting for someone to turn to the wall and say, God, I have kept this truth, Lord, Cornelius received the Holy Ghost in his house right at the beginning of Peter's message. Why? Because Acts 10 tells us that he had given himself to fasting and prayer. Listen, I believe in power tools. Can I get an amen from some men here? Yeah. I've got lots of power tools, and they do a good job, and it's fun to use them. The greatest power tool that we have in the church is prayer and fasting. It's like going back to a handsaw and a hammer when you've been using a power saw and a nail gun. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But it isn't just, well, come on, God. Are you in that place where God can trust you with the power? You know, we humble ourselves in prayer. We humble ourselves. We abase ourselves in fasting. Fasting sharpens our spiritual senses so that we can interact with another world. Nothing else puts us in tune with God like, I know this flesh doesn't like to do it. Oh, pastor, please don't, because I don't want, this flesh doesn't. That's right. Your flesh is not a friend of yours, you see. Get me to God. I want to hear the voice of God when I get up in the morning. I want to hear the voice of God all during the day. I want to see the word of God jumping off the page. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church all the time. There is another world within an arm's length of each and every one of us. All we have to do is be sensitive enough in order to touch it. But we can't get into it without some kind of commitment. Book learning. Scripture won't do it. Knowledge isn't enough. You can have knowledge without power. We can't get into it from great preaching, although it's good that we have great preaching, but preaching isn't going to elevate you to that place of sensitivity to the voice of God, to another world. We want somebody else to come in here and take us on a journey to get us to God when God's saying, no, you're on your own. You got to get there by yourself. We only get to that throne room through the transcension of prayer and fasting. Paul had an out-of-body experience and went up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. He heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Well, how did it happen that he got to that place of a third heaven? Every one of us can go to a higher dimension with God if we purpose in ourselves that I want to get closer to God. And Jesus said, this kind. Only one thing you can do, folks. This kind. Only through prayer and fasting. I'll tell you what flight Paul took. It was Air Express, prayer and fasting. It's the only way to fly. It's the only way to get closer to God. Amen. It's not my responsibility to get you to there. It's not somebody in your house that is supposed to get you there. We all have a mandate from God to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Get to God. And then what happens is we'll race to the house of God. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I got to get to the house of God because I feel so in tune with God that I want to be there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody want to plug in? Hallelujah. Because if you plug in, something will pop up. There's going to be something that is, I will guarantee it, that if you put the time, the effort, the commitment in talking to God and pushing a plate away, I'm telling you, there's going to be some things that are going to happen in your life. And God says, I want to bring revival to this church, but you're not ready. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be the first one to be ready. I want to see this city saved. Hallelujah. I'll decree. I'll take off the robes. I'll sit in ashes. I want the city to be saved. And it's not going to be happen because we have a better looking church, better choir, better whatever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Portman, thank you for the journey. Amen. It's getting hot. Amen. I know originally we wanted to do this on a 30-day basis. You know, and once you commit to that, and once you feel the effects of it, you don't want to stop at 30 days. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We had an awesome time at family camp this year. There was some just great preaching and teaching. Amen. And it's good to feed the soul and starve the body. Amen. Because I'd like to reach that third heaven. Yes. Hear words from God. Amen. How high do you want to go? Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?